Hi, and welcome to the About Her show. I am Sangeeta Relan, an educationist, a writer, and a lifelong learner. I also run an e-magazine for women. This podcast is about trailblazing women and their journeys. Women who have broken many a barrier, many a stereotype to realize their potential. If they can do it, so can you. The habits that one develops during childhood can significantly impact one's future and the path one takes in life. Parents have a crucial role in helping their children form such habits. Our guest this week is Devika Anand Gupta, a well-known media personality and author. She grew up in a family where she was encouraged to write and give expression to her feelings and emotions. She was also given the freedom to make choices and live an independent life. This upbringing instilled in her the confidence and clarity of thought to live life on her terms and make decisions that she believed in. Let's talk to Devika to know more about her life and the various experiences she has had. So hi, Devika, and welcome to the About Her show.
Thank you, Sangeeta.
Most welcome. This show is about women achievers, who we call women trailblazers, where we give them a platform to talk about their work, to tell us about what they do, what kind of challenges they may have faced along the way, the ups and downs, successes, failures, all of those. The idea being, to motivate and inspire the listeners, you know, the women out there who are just wanting to do something, but for some reason or the other are not able to. So we want them to get out of whatever is holding them back and, you know, follow their ambitions, their dreams, and do what they want in life. And eventually, we want to build a community of women who are there to support, empower, mentor each other, and be there for each other. So that's the whole point. So once again, a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you again, Sangeeta. Look forward to our interview today.
Same here. All right, so let's dive in. And to begin with, just as an icebreaker, tell us a little bit about your early life, your childhood. And if you think that any of your experiences from that time paved the way for who you are today, what you're doing today.
Absolutely, Sangeeta. I grew up with a father who almost had a new posting in a new city practically every year or 2 years. So from the time I can remember, I have been through 7 different schools till finally in grade 9, my dad said, okay, you know, enough. Now you just stay back with the grandparents and I'll continue with the transfers and the posting. So he worked with the services and that required a lot of moving. In a way, the reason why I started writing is all these transfers and movements and my father. So he was pretty much instrumental in me getting into the habit of writing. So I almost down to, I think, grade 3, I can remember, he would tell me, you know, Devika, pen down your thoughts. There are new changes, new beginnings. So always write what you feel. I have some of those old diaries still because, you know, I love sharing these things with my children. And they're quite funny, you know, from the time that you can't really articulate yourself with words, you do that through drawings. So it's pretty interesting to see the different emotions that I have shown, which I can't, really speak to someone or even understand what I'm feeling. So in a sense, I think my writing journey pretty much began with my dad's various postings through the years. And he was the one who encouraged me that you must write. And that just became a habit. And then, of course, a passion. And then, of course, a career. And then much more.
Okay, that's wonderful. So it is right, isn't it? The way we are raised, our upbringing, all these things, they play a very, very critical role in our lives. You know, I think those seeds which our parents plant.
Right.
That's the shape which our life takes. So so did you want to be a writer when you were growing up?
You know, to be honest, I don't know. I don't know. I just wrote. Maybe the habit made me a good writer. I can't say. But it just flew naturally for me. What I studied in college and what I did as a career have no correlation at all. what one thought one would be. And I think in our generation, we didn't really go that deep into, I want to grow up to become such and such. You just wanted to finish your graduation and look for a good job. We didn't have the opportunities children have today,
Yeah, that's.
We had very limited choices in terms of a career as well. I think the pretty Because my father was in the IAS, I think I did toy with the idea of sitting for the IFS and the IAS, as well. It's just that right after college, because I always had ants in my pants and I needed myself to be constantly occupied, I just applied to the two best organizations in the media at that time and got into chose what I thought was the best, and I'm glad I did. It was NDTV under, Pranoy Roy's legacy now. And then that was history.
So in a way, then what you're saying is that yes, the childhood influences, the fact that you started writing and penning down your thoughts at such an early age, those were kind of, maybe, at the back of your head, they were working and they kind of propelled you into taking the path that you took. So tell me, when you decided to get into media, and then of course writing and maybe the two of them were happening together, did you face any challenges and anything because of your gender, or it was like a kind of a cakewalk for you?
Challenges only come because you don't know what you're about to do, right? So
Yeah.
as far as gender is concerned, I face no challenges. I worked for a company where I think 80% of the workforce was women. So
Yeah.
I think that's a question better asked to my colleagues who are men. But not for us at all. It was a lovely, lovely environment. In fact, we called it a college post our college of our choice. We had a lot of fun growing up in NDTV. All my colleagues would perhaps say the same thing. It was a
Yeah.
nurturing environment. It was an environment where everybody taught you. Challenges come because I joined when I was 20. I actually celebrated my 21st birthday on a midnight shift in at work. We didn't
Okay.
have live news at that time. We had to go there, at 12 or 1 in the morning, put the packages together. A rider used to take the tapes to Doordarshan because at that time, Dr. Roy had The World This Week and a couple of other shows only. And there was no live television in our country at that time. So you had to be there, pretty much your shift began at 12 and ended at 7 in the morning. So challenges like that, if you want to call it a challenge, because those were new things that we learned and faced. We didn't know what machines were all about because I didn't study journalism. I studied economics. So for me, coming from a background of economics and being told to, script for a behind the scene, but for it to be grammatically correct in a particular format that fit, I think that was the biggest challenge.
But yes, you're right, because I did speak to Nidhi, during the course of these podcasts that I do, and she had the same thing to say, that it was largely a woman-centered, centric organization. So probably it was the other gender which, may have felt uncomfortable with so many women around. So yeah, interesting that too. Yeah. So now, okay, so you've had a long stint with the media, and of course now you're, writing, and of course the book that's come out. Can you tell us a little bit about this book?
So the book is basically, it's my first children's book. I have written a book before that, which is a sort of a guidebook on economics for class 12. This book is titled Why Can't I?
Yeah.
And it's a narrative of a child who is speaking to his parent and basically saying, but why do I have to live my life according to the norms that are prescribed by all the mamas and papas, and why can't I live the way I want to? From the beginning of the day where I don't feel like brushing my teeth and brushing my hair or washing my face. My room is dirty, it's my room.
Yeah.
Why can't I take what I want to school, and why do I have to be in the school? That those big black gates which are so overwhelming, the teachers or the environment, like why can't I have my own life? The reason I decided to write this book because a lot of our children went through an extreme transition during COVID,
Yeah.
where schooling for them was primarily online. For my son, if I may speak just about him, his first 2 years of education was online. He'd never set foot in school because of COVID and our country not allowing schools to open. So he there are a lot of chapters which talk about how he, I mean, I don't name him, but the whole story is inspired by him, how he gets overwhelmed going to school, readjusting. But then there are a lot of fun facts which every mother goes through. I'm sure you've read the book and you must have seen and read the incessant questions of why do I have to, from broccoli to clothes to doing the homework. To the difference here is that I wanted to write a book where there is no moral of the story. It is what it is. There is no book out there which I have read to my 14-year-old and now going to be 8-year-old, which basically doesn't tell you the moral of a story, right? So the idea is life is what it is. And even at this age, I'm going to be 50 soon, I also say, why can't I? So it's
True.
just the why can't I through the years, and let's enjoy them and let's have a healthy discussion with our children. I have given space to the voice of a parent there to gently explain why they can't. So it's not just a free for all, why can't I? And it's all good out there. There is a parent saying, yeah, there is a reason why you can't.
So interesting, because it gives a kind of a balanced view. Children with their apprehensions and their questions, and of course parents with their logic and trying to explain. Okay, so great. I'm sure both parents and children must be loving the book.
I hope so.
All right, so tell me if anyone who wants to get into the space of media and writing, both of them now, are there any tips that you would like to share with them?
I think compared to the time around 20, 25 years ago when I joined the media, we had limited choices in terms of education. You either went to an esteemed organization, college like Jamia Millia, or you went abroad. There weren't that many choices. Now the world is all out there, whether it's online, offline. There are a lot of scholarships being offered compared to the time that we wanted to study journalism. We were also very lucky because there were only a few organizations to choose from, and the strength was pretty small. So it was small, it was very connected, very tight. So we got a lot to learn. Now organizations, their minimum capacity starts from 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And so you may not find the mentors that we were lucky to get. But on the other side, you do have the education, which we may many of us found during our work life while working. So definitely look out for the best courses out there. The internships available are far and many. The choices are amazing out there, from digital to camera to writing to behind the scenes to being on production. The choice is just amazing. So must seek out internships. Don't go for just paid internships. Just seek out internships. Just being under someone and absorbing their aura of media is exciting enough. And the third is never give up. Never give up. So if you don't get the internship this year, apply for it next year. There is so much out there. I just find that patience is very important in the media. And if you show it from the beginning in how you're seeking your career path within the varied field media has to offer, it's a bonus.
Great. So those are, I think, useful tips which can be kept in mind. And somewhere I feel that maybe, this current generation doesn't have as much patience as maybe we did, or maybe it's just the older generation trying to find fault with the current one. But yeah, patience, I think, is much needed.
I think, Sangeeta, why I say patience, because the choices are far more now. So we, I have seen the new colleagues that I've had in the past 6, 7 years. They haven't had the patience to see the work through the number of years that me or my colleagues did to see the results or to see where our career trajectory takes us. So, because they have the choice, we never had the choices. So, I think to be fair to them, we could possibly club it in that fair opinion poll.
True. So Devika, tell me, we're all humans, and we do have our failings, and along with that, the ups and downs of a day. Not every day is as bright and beautiful as we would want it to be. So on a day when you are down and out, How do you pep yourself up?
Oh gosh. Ah, that's a tough one. How do I pep myself up? So I love loud music.
Okay.
So when the house is empty, the kids have gone to school. That sounds like music to me right now. And the husband's at work. I usually shut my door and listen to loud music and get ready. I have, and I'm happy to share with you. I have a reminder, a daily reminder on my calendar, which says, put a smile on your face. So it beeps, interestingly, at 11 a.m. every day, because by then I think I'm losing my patience. I wake up at 6 every day. So that really works and, sort of puts a reminder in my space that, put a smile on your face. This too shall pass. What else do I do? I definitely don't write to pep myself up because nothing comes out. Music, I go for a walk. I jump on the treadmill. I have invested in a treadmill, keeping the pollution in mind. So I think between these three things, and of course, I used to bake a lot of bread to take all my stress out. Nowadays, I think, I have, as you call, a mistress in the kitchen. My cook doesn't like me, so that has gone out of the window. I'm not allowed to enter the space. But yeah, baking bread really helps.
I guess so doing something which is out of the ordinary, or maybe it's not part of your routine, so to say, I think that does help because it gives you maybe, just a kind of change. Because otherwise, I think maybe, the regular, the mundane gets monotonous.
And Sangeeta, like you said, every day is not a high, right? There has to be an up and down. And we all know that. And perhaps that's why I have a calendar that reminds me, put a smile on your face. It's a new day, and every day will bring with it a new challenge.
Course. So, Devika, as we lead our lives and go from one day to the other, good, bad, whatever. Life has a way of, knocking us in different ways, teaching us lessons, making us go through experiences which we feel maybe others could learn from. I mean, whether they learn or not is completely, not the point here. The point is that we feel that, they should. So are there any such experiences which have, maybe taught you some lessons, given you some learnings which you would like to share with us?
I think coming from a media background where we have seen high numbers of highs and lows in how our work has been perceived has taught us to have no ego. And I know a lot of people think that a lot of the media personalities have high ego, and rightly so if they do have it. But there is also another side to it because you've seen the highs and lows of how work and how life is progressing out there. You are, you are sort of putting it on camera, or you are putting it on paper. You are seeing it, and it sort of takes away the whole, the big ego from your life to see how the ordinary person out there lives, is allowed to live, faces troubles, gives you a sense, a deep sense of blessing that you're not where they are. There was a time where, my colleagues used to laugh and say that I was a tragedy specialist because almost every tragedy that happened, from a train accident to a child drowning to, a ship sinking with a Greek tragedy, immigrants sort of, jumped off a boat, I was practically sent to cover all that. I mean, you can imagine how one feels in a space where you have to hold your mic and, put it against someone's mother's face and say, how do you feel that the only bread earning member of your family is no more? So ego is one thing that goes out of the window. You learn a lot of humility. You learn that there is much more out there in life, beyond your little bubble, you have created. That's the biggest lesson, to remember and keep in mind when we are dealing with people every day. So I can only, sort of share that from my experiences at work.
Yes, I guess, every experience, as you said, does teach you something. All right. So, now coming to, of course, a professional, a woman who is pretty much independent in, pretty much every sense of the word. So, when you look at the young girls today, and, when you are maybe, you know, the girls are 18, 19 on the threshold of their personal and professional lives. Are there any tips that you would like to share with them in terms of being independent, both financially and emotionally? I mean, how
I think
you rate being independent being important?
So definitely, you must be independent and you must be financially independent, most importantly. And that is something I've actually learned from my father. So I wouldn't say it's different from my generation to the new generation.
Yes.
We call ourselves the confused mixed generation. There was a time before us where a lot of my parents' older friends, if their daughter had got divorced, they hadn't been given the right kind of education, the right kind of platforms to work. And hence, they were always at sea as to how to resettle them. Came along our generation and our parents started, we call ourselves confused because it was mixed because you had to get married, yet you had to do your college and your education and you must be able to stand on your 2 feet, you know. So it's like, okay, which part do you want me to really focus on? But as a result, today, from our generation, if God forbid anything happens, I think at least I can speak from my own little bubble of friends. We can stand on our own. We can work because we have the right education. We did not give up after school to get married. And it's not just about marriage, to maybe follow a particular passion. We did work towards education, which would, you know, sort of be our safety deposit, if for God's sake, we were, you know, in a situation where we needed it. A lot of people work in today's environment because two incomes always help. And a lot of people work in today's environment because without it, you cannot function, right? I mean, it's a need. It's a need, whether it's a man or a woman, right? Yeah. My husband and I often joke and say, hey, and he says, okay, let me sit back and you work. Mm-hmm. I would love that. And I joke back and say, why? Why should I give this up? Yeah, I'm sort of enjoying it. But, you know, jokes aside, it is extremely, extremely important to hold on to your education. Must go through your master's, your MBA, whether you choose to work or not work. Your security deposit of a degree and a little bit of work experience is really, really important.
Yeah.
Today's generation is very lucky. They can turn their passion into careers.
Yes.
And as long as that career can be held on, help you make a living, you know, experiment, explore.
I think very essential because, you know, of course it gives you that empowerment in the sense when you earn your own money, and I think it's so good for your self-worth. You know, you like they say, how you look at yourself and of course how the world perceives you, and that feeling of, you know, there is that feeling of liberty. You know, you are your own person because you have your own money. But where would you place emotional independence in this? How important is it to be emotionally independent?
Well, to be emotionally independent, you need to be independent cerebrally. Because if you haven't had the exposure of studying, the confidence of knowing that you can today be comfortable in your own space, your emotional independence will not come through. If you are constantly dependent on other people for, you know, providing for your life, then you won't, you know, emotional independence sort of takes a backseat there.
Mm-hmm.
So to be emotionally confident and independent, you need to have the backing of financial independence. And I don't mean that you need to be working all the time. Mm-hmm. Financial independence also comes with the knowledge that today, you know, I am free to make my choices because I have the education to back that. And that's why I keep calling it a, you know, security deposit, like a life insurance. Don't give it up. Saving is, you know, it's so important at any age. Like, for instance, I'm studying again. Of course, what I'm studying is different from what I would study when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But I am studying because I just feel my emotional independence also depends on the fact that I keep my mind constantly oiled and geared.
Yes.
Towards learning more. And the more I learn, the more my mind learns.
Yes.
to deal with my, you know, emotional space. And my emotional space equals to my inner being and my inner well-being.
True, true. Very well said. These two actually, I mean, yes, emotional flows from financial, and both I think are very, very important because, you know, like I said, that feeling of being free, you know, unshackled, that confidence, all these things I think will come only when you have that feeling and the sense of being independent.
Absolutely.
So then, of course, when we look at the world around us, we see so many women who've done so well for themselves, you being a case in point, basically done in life what you wanted to do, taking a break when you wanted to, but actually been successful in whatever you picked up. So how do you think people react to such women? I mean, when I say people, I mean both men and women. Like if you were to walk into a party, how do people take to a woman who's made a name for herself?
I think quite well now. I don't think I personally have never faced a situation where my work or what I have done has not been received well, or I've come across people who have not been interested in knowing about the different journeys that I have taken. You know, one where there was a phase where work was everything for me. I was very clear with my parents that I don't want to get married till I have reached a certain stage at my work. Then came along my marriage, where I knew that my children, because I had children at a way older age, were more important to me. And that production of my media life was far more important for me. Then came a point where I was confused. You know, being someone who had achieved a lot, had now a different phase in her life, being married with kids, but could not go back to the crazy life of media and traveling. I did, you know, try and dabble with different things to reinvent the wheel for myself. I don't think that I, as a woman who has made so many different choices, and perhaps a little different because I didn't get married at 18 or 20, I got married in my early 30s. Maybe that aspect of my life was looked upon more than my successes in my career, I have to say. But as far as my work is concerned, I've never faced a problem with anyone looking down at me, but only being happy.
Great, great. That is so. It is actually true. The world is changing and becoming more receptive to the fact that, yes, you know, women can also do it and they are doing it. So, of course, I think we all are somewhere, you know, if I may say so, guilty of doing this. Not guilty exactly, but yes, this is what we see a lot happening around us, where people in their early 40s, late 40s, or even early 50s for that matter nowadays are switching gears, or as I call it, the midlife rebooting, where you start doing something which is diametrically opposite to what you were doing, you know, for all those years of your life. So like somebody taking to writing or to, you know, hiking or, you know, whatever it could be, acting, it could be anything. Why do you think this is happening so much nowadays?
Are you talking specific to a change in our phase of our life, or?
As in that, see, when you look at your parents, so if your father, say, for instance, was a doctor, he continued to be a doctor for the rest of his life, right? Or if he was till the time they decided to retire. It was one profession, one vocation for them. Whereas nowadays, there are people doing multiple things. You know, there could be a doctor, there could be a writer too. So how is it happening now? I mean, was it because the earlier generation was not aware of what else they could do, or they could not do it? So what would you attribute this to?
Just simply availability of choices.
Okay.
Definitely. You know, we have more choices. Today, I'm a writer of a children's book. And I'm studying astrology. So Sangeeta, send me your dates and I'll tell you what the future holds. It makes no, you know, I mean, there is no correlation, but it's my interest. The fact that today an astrology course and a great teacher who speaks my language and a great cohort of people who are learning with me are available. I am now in, say, level 3 of astrology. Similarly, and like you pointed out, a doctor writing or a doctor singing, a doctor, my eye doctor has his own pop band. It's just you know, that he has the availability of spaces and an audience that respects a good eye doctor with a great voice. Times have changed, you know. It's and I'm glad that we are part of that change where the availability is varied. And today the world is online. You and I are talking to each other over an online interview.
Absolutely.
In my time, I would have to go set up, put the lights, make sure the camera person has got everything, have a makeup person there, you know, have the makeup done, put the lapels, do the voice testing. And here you and I just exchanged a link and boom. So things have changed. And online, and courtesy COVID today, we can take a class at Harvard, Yale, Duke, Sussex, anywhere.
Yeah.
So the choices are amazing.
So choices are there. And I think, so with the, of course, choices are there, there is awareness. And I think social media has a great role to play in this because you do get inspiration from, you know, different people doing different things. And even the fact that there are choices, you know, this is how you're getting to know about them. And would you also say that financially we are much more secure than the previous generation where we have the ability to be able to experiment more?
We definitely have the ability to experiment more, but I'm not too sure on how to answer on our financial stability and security because unless you come from a background where you already have the safety network, all the choices that you are making today need, while they might be very exciting and varied, you know, I want to become a musician and I want to become a guitarist as part of a band. While all these are beautiful and, you know, choices are there for us to study music, join a band, experiment, you know, intern with someone, but does that give you enough for your livelihood? So I'm not really sure how that sort of flows into financial security. I'm a big proponent of education. As far as long as you have your education in place and you know that that education can help you overcome any problem in life. Maybe your passion doesn't flow into a successful career, then what? Then that MBA degree will help you for sure. So I'm not really sure how that works in today's generation because as we both, you know, sort of subtly said, there is patience is less, choices are more. While it's an exciting time to go out there and explore, does that really sort of translate into financial security? I don't know.
So what I actually meant was that, you know, maybe our parents' generation, there was a single earning member. So that person, even though they had other interests and aspirations, but they had to stick to that, you know, by and large. Whereas now we can, you know, kind of drop and start doing something else. And of course, with all the
As a woman, are you talking about as a woman?
Even men for that matter, I think, you know, after you reach a certain stage, you can kind of, you know, think of doing something completely different. What I mean, experimenting and, you know, exploring options, which maybe.
Yeah, but then again, I would say there would be a very limited lot of people who would have reached their goals to be able to set aside and say, okay, then I'm that lucky 50 who's retiring and changing.
But in today's world, I think at least you can see that option. You can consider it. You know, that's what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So Devika, as a woman, and I think most people have to, but I think women more than men, you do have to juggle different balls and different roles in a day. So is there any secret behind your ability to do it? Anything that you would like to share with us?
I have no idea how I do it, Sangeeta. No idea how I do it. All I know is that I wake up at 6, send the older one to school. 7 o'clock, the younger one goes to school. 9 o'clock, the third child, my husband, goes to school.
I love that.
Sort of, you know, the day begins. There is my writing. There is tending to family. There is tending to ensuring the house is running smoothly. There are many women out there who are, unlike me, going to work despite all that. There is, you know, picking, dropping, doctors, school, you know, after school, it's quite chaotic. And then comes a time where, you know, once you have teenagers, I know that yours have flown the nest, but I still have raging hormonal teenagers in my home. You know, their needs, you know, studies, the world has become so competitive. You're just constantly on the ball. You're just constantly on the ball. And then one more thing that I'd like to sort of speak about is that the need to constantly be present, to keep checking on the emotional state of your children nowadays is very high, right? So you're constantly checking if the world for them out there is also okay. So it's an overwhelming day. And if you ask me, how do I do it? I have no idea, but I know I do it. I wake up the next morning to do it again.
So, do you believe in, like, you know, prioritizing and making lists and schedules? I guess those are the techniques which most of, you know, us use, you know, to
So
get back into
I have a very simple formula
it.
because and that formula works for me very specifically because I've been there, done that, and I was clear that I needed to be at a certain space in my career before I gave it up. I don't have that burning need or desire to go out there to prove a point anymore. I'm very comfortable in my skin, but that comfort has come with a lot of time and space. So it doesn't just happen overnight. So my priority is simply my children first. My children and my husband, they all fall in the same league. So as long as they've exited safely, the rest just flows in for them to come back in. And you know, for all of us, the formula, we kind of know how to wing it. So there's really nothing to it. For me, just like any other woman, my family definitely is a priority, and I know how to wing my work in through it. Because I'm not at that space, and I'm lucky that I don't need to go out there to make a living. And what I'm doing, I have enough time to space it out.
Great. So, where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
Talking to you, telling you that my 10th book is out now,
Oh,
Sangeeta.
great. All the
And that, mind you, is not going to be a children's book. So I'm putting it out there. That's
best.
going to be my raunchy novel,
Oh,
romantic novel.
wow. So why should it be the 10th? Maybe the 5th or the 6th?
No, it has to be the 10th because I definitely 10 years from now have to have that number of books out.
Okay, all right. That's a great ambition to have. So yes, maybe we could be exchanging our books with each other. I also have
I
something
would
in the
love
cards. We would do
that.
that. So Devika, I have this question which I ask of every woman. And you know, I've asked so many of them, and the kind of answers that I've got are very, very interesting because I guess everybody has their perspective. So what I want to know is, what do you think? Can a woman have it all?
Definitely, a woman can definitely have it all, especially in today's time when there is nothing there to stop us. You know, we don't have environments where a woman is told that your role is just to be the homemaker. A man today steps in equally as a woman does. A woman can definitely have it all. There's nothing holding her back except for herself. So yeah, definitely. I would say to all the women out there, don't use it as an excuse. A woman can have it all, and I've been there, done that through various phases of having an extreme high in my career to changing to a life where it was all about my children and going with the flow of my husband's work requirements and changing cities to reinventing the wheel that suited my children. I taught programs like Music Together. I taught programs like creative writing for little children, all so that I could also bring that knowledge home. So a woman can definitely have it all. And I would say that go out there and get it.
Yes, I so agree with this. You know, considering the opportunity that we have and the way times have changed, people have changed, we can do it. And I think the first step has to be ours. We have to take that first step. And I think somewhere people will fall in line if we are willing to go out there and get that all. You know, if we keep just sitting and saying that it's not happening, it won't ever happen. So I think that first, that drive, that the urgency, the urge has to be in us to want to do it. And then I think we can definitely have it all. I totally, totally subscribe to this. Okay.
And things are changing, Sangeeta, because like as we go out today, the person filling the diesel or the petrol in your car is a woman. You
Yeah,
know, when
yeah.
you go to a grocery store, the person behind the counter is a woman. So
Yes.
a woman can definitely have it all, and times are changing. Even the mindset of families which believe that a boy is better than a girl is
Yeah, yeah.
changing. They can see
Yes.
what a woman can bring home.
That's true. That's true. So, Devika, thank you so much. It was really very, very interesting and a very different kind of a perspective that you gave, to so many different things. So I'm sure our listeners will get not only a different perspective, but a different way of thinking. So thank you so much for being on the show. I hope you enjoyed being with us.
Absolutely, Sangeeta, and thank you. Thank you for having me here. So I look forward to chatting with you again after 10 years and we discuss
Sure.
that romantic novel.
Yes, we will. We will. All right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tune in every Thursday for some more inspiring conversations with women trailblazers. If you like the show, follow us and you could leave a review to help us get better. You could even get in touch with us on any one of our social media handles.